The writer Fran Lebowitz is many things. As a witty observer of American life, she's been called by some critics a modern-day Dorothy Parker. Lebowitz is also the author of two essay collections and one children's book. She's contributing editor to Vanity Fair. But one thing she's not is shy.
I obviously love to talk, so I never thought about being good or bad at it. Only when people started remarking on it did I realize that people thought of it as anything special. And that's partially because I was never complimented on as a child. I mean, in fact, the opposite. When I was a child, it was called talking back. Okay? You know, now it's called public speaking.
Public speaking is also the name of Martin Scorsese's new documentary film, in which Lebowitz is both subject and star. She'll be in town Monday, May 16th for a screening of the film at Brookline's Coolidge Corner Theater. I spoke with Fran Lebowitz earlier this week.
I was a child, apparently, the exact wrong time. You know, I was a child when people almost never said the word child without first saying just a. Okay? Then the second I attained adulthood, everyone started thinking, why don't we be nice to these kids? And then now everyone listens to children.
Well, in the movie Public Speaking, you spend some time talking about your childhood, which we just hinted at a little bit, and how hearing one particular writer really changed your life. So let's listen to a clip from the film.
There are days, this is one of them, when you wonder what your role is in this country and what your future is in it, and how you're going to communicate to the vast, heedless, unthinking, cruel white majority that you are here.
That, of course, is James Baldwin. And Fran Lebowitz, why did he make such an impact on you?
He was the first person I ever saw who was, for want of a better word, an intellectual. I mean, I saw him on something called the David Susskind Show, which was a talk show, and I was thunderstruck. I just never heard anyone that smart talk. Okay, that was really probably the main thing. I never heard anyone talk like that in my life, and I had never heard of him. And so I went to the library, and I got his books, and I just became completely, I don't know, enamored of him.
Well, so he was obviously a very influential factor in molding who you later become. And you've said that another factor was when you started writing for Interview Magazine.
Well, you know, Interview Magazine at that time, it had a circulation of something like 8,000. That's what they said, but it wasn't really true. It was far less. Probably it was, at least in New York City, in the hundreds of people who read it. But it happened to be the people that I knew. So as soon as I started writing for it, people started commenting on it to me.
So Fran, if I remember correctly, Interview Magazine was Andy Warhol's magazine, which means that most of the readership that was reading your articles, they were gay.
That's right.
How much did that matter to you?
Wholly mattered. I mean, it mattered enormously. It mattered enormously because there was, at that time, we didn't call it that, and in fact, it wasn't called that yet, but there was a sensibility very different from other people. There was the standards of this particular group of people. This was not every homosexual, of course, you know, of this particular group of people. The standards had to do with what you knew. It was a kind of culture of appreciation. Yes, of course, at the time when, you know, George Balanchine, you know, one of the three great geniuses of the 20th century, yes, he's very key to the New York City Ballet being great, you know, Jerry Robbins. But the audience for the New York City Ballet knew at least as much about ballet as George Balanchine did. They just didn't happen to be talented, okay? And a very exacting audience is incredibly important to the creation of very high levels of performance, okay? I value the opinion of these people very highly, okay? So those were the people that read Interview, and those were the people, mostly, I was quite young when I came to New York. I was 18, and so most of the people that I knew were older than me.
Well, Fran Lebowitz, you mentioned the fact that you came to New York when you were just 18 years old, and I want to play another clip from the film. And this is one where you're talking about Times Square.
If you're a New Yorker and you run into another New Yorker in Times Square, it's like running into someone in a gay bar in the 70s. You instantly start making excuses as to why you're there. I'm not really here. I'm not really in Times Square. I'm on my way to some other, I'm doing research.
There is no other place in the United States I think you can say that about. So how much does New York matter to you? How much do you love it to this day?
obviously it matters to me a great deal, you know. And I am aware of the fact that always, as people get older, they say that things used to be better. I know. However, sometimes it's true. Yes, New York has changed immeasurably. New York always changes. That is true. I have to say that no one could have predicted that New York would become less urban. That's my complaint about it. It is a less urban environment. It is more suburban.
The physical fabric of the city doesn't feel any more suburban. Are you talking about in the way people think?
The physical fabric of the city doesn't seem any different to you, but let me assure you that there were decades where you could actually walk a whole block without strollers.
Oh.
Okay? All right? That one thing you never thought. They used to say, oh, my God, all the families are leaving New York. Well, they came back. Okay? Now, to me, I have to tell you something. This is not the good news. I know you're supposed to say, you know, these are middle-class suburban values from the 1950s. Okay? They have reappeared. This is what reappeared, by the way, not George Balanchine. And here's the problem. It is not that I don't like children. I do. I just don't want them here. Okay? And here is the problem. When there are children in an environment, that environment has to be made for children. The whole city is now safe for four-year-olds. But imagine how fascinating it is if you're not four.
Yeah.
Here's the only good thing about being old. I know it won't last. And how do I know this? Because it turns out nothing does.
Well, Fran Lebowitz, you know, I've always wanted to ask the subject of a documentary this question. And that is, and especially someone like you who makes a living being an observer, when you watched the film yourself, what did you observe in you?
Well, first of all, I have to say that, you know, during the making of the movie, I had nothing to do with it other than talking. In other words, this is Marty's movie. You know, I don't know how to make movies. Unlike my fellow Americans, I actually know I can do some things, not others, so I never, you know, suggested to Marty what to do. The first time I saw it, I have to tell you that I wasn't really thinking cinematically. I was so shocked at what I looked like. And I actually complained. I complained to Marty's producer, you know, that makeup artist was horrible, look how I look. And everyone kept saying, Fran, you look fine. And finally, I suddenly realized that I had actually thought that I looked 1981, 2009, I looked pretty much the same. This is something I believed. So I was completely flabbergasted. And finally, when I realized what it was, I went to the producer and I said, you know, the reason you thought I looked okay was because you knew what I looked like. It's a very startling thing. It's a very hard thing to watch. It's very hard to be objective, you know, about yourself. And so I tried to concentrate on the movie, and I came to the conclusion that Marty is really coming along. I think he did a lovely job.
Well, Fran Lebowitz is the subject and star of Public Speaking, a documentary directed by Martin Scorsese. It will screen at the Coolidge Corner Theater in Brookline on Monday, May 16th. Fran Lebowitz, such a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
There's more information about that screening at our website, radioboston.org.